ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
Today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, Chapter 32, The Reunion, Text 11 and 12. Just read 11.
Tasamadaya Kalindya.
Tasamadaya Kalindya.
Nivisha Pulinam Vibhu. Nivisha Pulinam Vibhu. Vikasatkunda Mandara. Vikasatkunda Mandara. Surabhya Nila Sapadam. Surabhya Nila Sapadam. Tasamadaya Kalindya. Nivisha Pulinam Vibhu. Vikasatkunda Mandara. Surabhya Nila Sapadam. Sarachandram Susandoha Dastha Dosha Tamashivam Krishnaya Hasta Tarala Chitta Komala Valukam. So repeat word by word. Ta, those gopis, Samadaya, taking Kalindya of the Yamuna, Nivishya, entering upon Pulinam, the bank. Vibhu, the Almighty Supreme Lord. Vikasat, blooming. Kunda Mandara, of Kunda and Mandara. Flowers. Surabhi, fragrant. Anila, with the breeze. Satpadam, with bees. Sarat, Autumna, Chandra, of the moon. Amsu, of the rays. Sandoha, by the abundance. Dvasta, dispelled. Dosha, of the night. Tamaha, of the darkness. Shivam, auspicious. Krishnaya, of the river, Yamuna. Hasta, like hands. Tarala, by her waves. Achita, collected. Komala, soft. Valukam, sand. Translation. The Almighty Lord then took the gopis with him to the bank of the Kalindi, who with the hands of the waves, her waves had scattered piles of soft sand upon the shore. In that auspicious place, the breeze bearing the fragrance of blooming kunda and mandara flowers attracted many bees, and the abundant rays of the autumn moons dispelled the darkness of night. I read text 13 also. Taddashana lada vibuddhari. Tadashana lada vibhuta ritnujo manoratantam srutayo yathayayu svai uttari yai kuchakun kuman kitai achipanasannam atmabandave.
Their heartache vanquished by the ecstasy of seeing Krishna, the gopis, like the personified Vedas before them, felt their desires completely fulfilled. For their dear friend Krishna, they arranged a seat with their shawls, which was smeared with the kumkuma powder from their breasts.
Purport by Sri Krishna Prabhupada. In the 87th chapter of this canto, text 23, the Shrutis of personified Vedas pray as follows. Shriya Uragindra Boga Puja Danda Vishaktadiyo Vayamapite Samasamadiso Kri Saruja Sada. These women fully absorb their minds in meditation on Lord Krishna's powerful arms, which are like the bodies of great serpents. We want to become just like the gopis and render service with lotus feet. The Shrutis had seen Krishna during his appearance in the previous day of Brahma, and they become full of the most intense desire to associate with him. Then in this kalpa, they became gopis. And since the Vedas are eternal in human society, the Shrutis in this kalpa also become full of desire for Krishna, and in the next kalpa, will also become gopis. This information is given by Sri Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Amma gyana timandasya tinanjana aslapya shaksnumanitam yana tasmai shri gravay nama nama omishabhadaya krishna prasadalaya shrimati bhakti vidanta swami kandya namaste sarasati devi kauravani pacharini nivishesha sanyodi pasachade shatani. As Devanita Maharaj pointed out yesterday, that Krishna is the master of our relationships. He's very expert at arranging relations. People, they do not understand. Sometimes people in this world, they argue and they challenge that how God can be so partial, why someone is born in a good condition and someone is born in a poverty-stricken condition with so much sufferings. And why is it that some people has it easier, and why others have it so hard? So basically, Krishna is just mainly fulfilling everyone's desire. Nicho nichanam chetanas chetananam eko bahunam yogi dadati kaman. There are innumerable living beings, eternal beings, but there's among all these eternal beings, there's one supreme being, and he is the one fulfilling the desires of all the others since time immemorial. So as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, I'm not partial to anyone. But at the same time, say say, as you surrender to me, I'll reward you accordingly. So in this way, he's a perfect reciprocator. You, if you are during Krishna love, he reciprocates with love. If you want to neglect him, Krishna also leave us alone and let the material energy deal with us. Like for example on the altar, Sri Sri Gaunitai, Radha Vallabha, Jagannath Baladev, Subhadra, they're standing there, they're smiling, Gaunitai is dancing. If you have the eyes to see, some people they will come and see, why are you worshipping some idols? Why are you worshipping some stones? And for such people, Krishna can stand there like a stone, very still. And you can say, oh. But for the pure devotee, with their eyes tinged with the ointment of love, Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena, then they are seeing Krishna face to face. So it's a matter of reciprocation. Now then one may ask, well, the gopis, they are the topmost devotees of the Lord. And why did Krishna leave them in such a condition? After all, the gopi, when Krishna playing on his flute, the gopis, when they hear the flute of Krishna, they left everything. Some, they were feeding their husband, serving sham to the husband, they just dropped the pot and ran off. They were feeding the babies, and they just dropped the babies and ran off. Whatever they were doing, whatever household duties they were doing, they just dropped everything and left. Now, normally, who would do that? Imagine the mother feeding the baby, and then someone would call, Mataji, need your service. With Pujari didn't show up, he needs you on the altar. And then ran off. No way. So, well, I cannot do it, I'm feeding my baby. But the gopis, they just didn't consider anything. They just dropped everything and just went off. And there they were, they went to see Krishna, and they were dancing with Krishna, and then suddenly Krishna just left. And often we ask, sometimes we face with some difficulty in our devotional life or in our life in general, and we ask, why is Krishna treating me like that? Why is this happening to me? I gave up everything, I walked away from everything, and I'm surrendering my life to Krishna, and why am I in this position? Why am I suffering? And why all these obstacles? We ask him. Of course, later on Krishna will reveal, the gopis, they were also upset with Krishna. But although they were upset with Krishna, they could not forget Krishna. So when Krishna left, although they were upset, they were searching here, searching there, high and low, they were searching for Krishna. And while they were searching for Krishna, they were talking to one another about Krishna. In this way, they were completely absorbed in Krishna consciousness. They were enacting the pastimes of Krishna. And one of the gopis was climbing on the shoulder of the other gopi and playing Krishna, Kaliya Krishna. And the other one is lifting Govardhan hill. So in this way, they were all enacting different pastimes of Krishna. So this is actually the test. When we are in a difficult situation, or when we sometimes externally feel that Krishna has deserted us, how do we react? How do we act according to that situation? Do we walk away and say, there's no God, I wasted my time here. Well, Krishna may be there, but he doesn't take care of me, so let me walk away. Or one surrender even more and try to understand, why is Krishna putting me in this situation? What are the lessons to be learned? We know that Krishna is Bhakta Vatsala. He's a well-wisher of the devotee. He never put a devotee in a position which is not good for him. Even externally it may seem to be like that, but ultimately it's always for the benefit of the devotee. We see throughout the Srimad Bhagavatam so many examples. Even the Pandavas, Arjuna, a close friend of Krishna, how much difficulty they were put into. The Kauravas, especially Duryodhana and his force, they were giving them so much trouble, so much so that they had to leave the kingdom and go in exile and live in the forest. Their wives were insulted in the assembly. What greater devotees than they, the Pandavas? Yet they were put through so much, but there was a plan. Krishna was leading the whole thing up to the battle of Kurukshetra. The Bhima was so angry, was harboring this anger to get back at Duryodhana for mistreating Draupadi. And in the meantime, they make so many allies. Arjuna collected so many weapons. So they were preparing for the battle of Kurukshetra. Because after all, one of the reasons for Krishna came, because Mother Bhumi was overburdened by all the military arrangement on the earth. So they went to see Lord Brahma and they went to Svetadvipa to release burden. So that was one of the reasons Krishna appeared. And Prahlad Maharaj was pure devotee, and how he was treated by Hiranyakashipu, his own father, trying to kill him in so many different ways. But all he did was just completely surrender to Krishna, and he did not even feel any disturbances. Not at all. So that later on, when after killing Hiranyakashipu, Nishingadev wanted to give him benediction, and he said, I don't feel any disturbance. Although I'm in the material world, I do not feel any disturbance, because my mind is always absorbed. Makna Chitta. He said, my mind is always absorbed in hearing and remembering you, so I do not feel any disturbance. Although he has so many reasons to complain. Then sometimes how we always complaining. especially he's a temple president, and everyone comes to complain to you. Anyone has a little bit of problem, they say,
You are the temple president. Why are you not fixing this problem? Why are you not fixing my problem? Because you do not fix my problem, you are the cause of my problem. It's a thankless task. So everyone goes and pour the problems to the leader. But you don't find Prahlad Maharaj complaining. In fact, yeah, I don't have any problem. What's the problem? Now, my only problem is to see all these fools and rascals. Pretty heavy, isn't it, coming from a 5-year-old boy. Calling Vimutha. Mutha means ass, a fool. And when you add the word V, it means super fool. You're Superman, you're super fool. He said, all these fools and rascals trying to find happiness in the form of love, friendship, society. That's why I'm feeling compassion for them. That is actually, it sums up the mood of the devotee. The mood of the devotee is that he's paradukkaduki. He feels pain to see the sufferings of others. In the material world, it's different. In the material world, it's parasukkaduki. They enjoy to see the sufferings of others. Is that those you remember? I don't know, do you have it in Australia, the Three Stooges? Famous, it's like an American icon, the Three Stooges. Some of you may be too young for that. They're still showing that on TV? Really? Oh. Okay, anyway. It's nothing but three guys who basically in real life they hate one another. So they mainly they're just acting it out on the screen. In real life they really hate one another. They're acting out on the screen. What they do is just bang one another, bang, and you know, they're all hurting one another and people laugh. Usually all these comedy movies or comedy shows is basically you see someone falling over, you know, someone make a fool out of himself and we laugh. You know, it's a material world. We enjoy to see the sufferings of others. But the devotee, he feels pain. It's just like when Prabhupada, I think it was in the Mahapu in the 1970s, he was looking out his room or balcony and he saw these young children scavenging the garbage dump looking for food. And he was feeling so much compassion, was tears was in his eye. He said, why are they like that? They are in the house of the father, why do they have to? So that was how Food for Life was born. He said there should be no hunger, but radius of 5 miles or 10 miles or whatever. So he was feeling so much pain just to see these children scavenging the garbage for food. Why should there be any shortage? There's no shortage. Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say, there's no shortage in this world. The only shortage is lack of Krishna consciousness. That's the only shortage. So in this way you see the devotees, they in the Sri Bhagavatam, so many stories, they go through so many difficulties, but they do not lose faith. This is how the devotee feel. When something good is happening, he thank Krishna. Oh, thank you Krishna. You're giving me so much. I do not deserve it, but yet you're giving me so much. And when we have some problem or difficulty, thank you Krishna for reducing the reaction to my problem. Like Prabhupada said, you cut your finger, you are not devotee, you can have lost your hand. So Krishna reduced it. So whatever, that's one of the symptoms of surrender, is that one always feels the mercy of Krishna in any situation. I don't know if you have heard this story. So this story about this king. And he had a minister who is a great devotee of Krishna, very surrendered devotee. And any time the king has any problem, he asked the minister for advice. The only thing the minister said was, this is all Krishna's mercy. So he was tolerating that. But one day, the king, he lost his finger. And he asked the minister, he said, why I'm such a pious king, I perform so many religious sacrifices on them, why I lost my finger? And the minister said, this is Krishna's mercy. But this time the king was not in a very, compassionate mood or in a, he didn't like the answer. He said, oh, it's Krishna's mercy, I lost my finger, and you say it's Krishna's mercy. He said, God, throw him into the prison. And they put him in prison, see what he has to say. So they throw him in the prison and say, now what do you have to say? He said, this is Krishna's mercy.
They're dreaming. And then the king thought, this guy has gone nuts. Must be crazy. Get thrown in jail and he says Krishna's mercy. So one day the king was going to the forest hunting with a few of his bodyguards and ministers. And they went deep into the forest and they were attacked by some tribes in the forest. And the king was captured. And his soldiers all ran away. And the king was captured. So they brought him back. What they were doing, they were actually looking for a human sacrifice. So they washed the king, bathed him, put him on the altar and prepared him for sacrifice. And the priest came out. They said, wait, before you sacrifice him, we have to check him. So they're checking all the different limbs and find one finger was missing. And they said, no, this sacrifice is not perfect for sacrifice. Now this human is not perfect for sacrifice. He's missing one finger. Let him go. The king came back complete. There is it. Said, release the minister! And they released the minister. Okay, I'm really sorry to put you in that condition. And now I can understand why it says Krishna's mercy. If I had not lost this finger, I would have lost my life. But he said, but there's one thing I do not understand. You are such a surrendered soul, so surrendered devotee of Krishna. But why did he put you in this condition to be locked up in the jail? And the minister said, don't you understand? I'm your confidential advisor, minister. Wherever you go, I go. When you get captured, I will also get captured. And when they find that you're not fit to be offered, they will offer me. So isn't it Krishna's mercy I got locked up? So sometimes when you hear all these stories, it actually gives us give us some faith that actually it's true. If we have that kind of faith, that whatever happens is Krishna's mercy. And of course Krishna has his own timetable. We are brought up in a society of fast everything. Fast food this, fast food that, everything instant. Instant noodles, 2 minutes, and you get your meal. You microwave, just put it in, few minutes, you get your meal. Everything instant, we want everything now. That you won't have a song, I want it now. So everything has to be instant. But Krishna has his timetable. Everything will be revealed in due course of time. How many years Prabhupada has to struggle alone? He has this strong desire to preach, to spread Krishna consciousness on the instruction of his spiritual master. But his family was not supporting him. They do not share the same enthusiasm. Later on, the Vanaprastha, he set up the League of Devotees. And then some ladies, some women's society, they make some politics and they took away the building. His god brothers did not share the same enthusiasm as he has for preaching. They were not giving him any support. And still Prabhupada was struggling alone. Prepare. That's why in that volume, a lifetime in preparation. Preparing. Just at the right time, when the time was right, then Krishna make the arrangement. Okay, go. At the ripe age of almost 70 years old, he left. That's the time when everyone retired. Nobody leaves Vrindavan when you go back to Vrindavan to retire. But Prabhupada was saying Vrindavan not to retire. He was preparing himself. And he just left. Why at that time? Because there was a hippie movement. Right at the right of the hippie movement. Where all these young people were disgruntled with their lifestyle. They didn't want to follow in the same footsteps of their parents. They were looking for alternative. So just at that moment, Prabhupada came. And he didn't compromise. When I was reading that part of the Lilamrita, it just amazed me how Prabhupada was reading about the first chapter about all the soldiers were there, Krishna instigating Arjuna to fight, and all these hippies, they were into the peace movement, right in the height of the Vietnam War. And Prabhupada was telling, Krishna is telling Arjuna to fight, Arjuna didn't want to fight, it was in Maya. Just present the message as it is and somehow people just pick it up. So you see in the life of Prabhupada how, and we may ask, so many people would have given up. Translated Bhagavad Gita, the manuscript was stolen. Second in India was stolen. And then in New York, again someone broke into his room. Again it was stolen. Normally we would say, oh, this is Krishna's mercy. He doesn't want me to translate Bhagavad Gita. Very often we do that, right? When it suits us, then say, this is Krishna's mercy. He doesn't want me to do this. When we go on Sankirtan, after half an hour, and nobody take a book, I think this is Krishna's mercy. This place is not good. Actually, that was how my first experience on Sankirtan. I was in Paris in 77, and there was this one bhakta, German bhakta. He said, today I'm going to train you on Sankirtan. So he took me out on Sankirtan. At that time I still had long hair. I was wearing a really hippie looking this old Danish army jacket. And he took me on Sankirtan. We were going on the metro, underground metro. We come out, he would approach a few people, and after less than half an hour, he said, ah, this is not a good place. We go somewhere else. And throughout the day it was like that. And then he said, street is not good, let's try door to door. And we go to some high rise. And we go up, randomly go up to one floor. There were maybe six apartments. You ring on all the bells. Oh, nobody home. Then go down three floors. Nobody home on this building. We go up. Now it's time for lunch. So that was my first experience on Sankirtan. I can't remember how many places we went to. So of course when he came back, the Sankirtan leader said, how many, back the horse, how many do you do today? He said, not so much today. I was training him up. So sometimes when it's convenient for us, we say, Krishna doesn't want it. It's Krishna's mercy. But Prabhupada is determined to know exactly what Krishna wants. Because he has firm faith in the instruction and order of his spiritual master to preach Krishna consciousness in the English speaking world. And know the importance of books. Because his Guru Maharaj told him about the importance of books. And he translated the third time the Bhagavad Gita. And one time in his room, there was no windows, and he was supposed to have a program, nobody showed up. Nobody came for the program. What would we normally do? Okay, wrap it up, nobody showed up. Mahaprasadam ki jai. But Prabhupada, remember what his Guru Maharaj said. He said, if there's no one to speak to, you preach to the walls. So he started giving a lecture, he put on the tape recorder. Fortunately for all of us, I think it was many years back, Jayavita Swami was relating this. And you know where did it end up, this lecture that Prabhupada gave? That's introduction to Bhagavad Gita. It's the most amazing piece of writing, the introduction to Bhagavad Gita. He was preaching to the four walls. So, I remember last year when I first met Dhamarita Maharaj again after 19, 20 years. Then we were talking, we were catching up on old times and so on, blah blah blah. And then he said something to me. He said, Prabhupada said, there will be a big test before you all qualify to go back home back to Gandhi. There will be so many tests along the way, but there will be a big test. So we are, it's in devotion life, we all go through, we've been around for a while, we all know there are so many tests along the way. And this is just a way of Krishna is trying to bring us closer to Him. Sometimes we hear about how when we make one step towards Krishna, Krishna is making 10 steps towards us. And we tend to think, when we hear that, we tend to think, oh, when I make a step towards Krishna, Krishna will make it 9 times easier for us. Not necessarily. It can also be like that. It's just like my experience when I was in book distribution, sometime in the morning, you all probably have this experience, when you feel that, oh, I chanted my rounds really nicely today, I have really good rounds, I read, and now I'm ready to conquer the world out there. And it can be the most difficult day. So really tough. But everyone is just smashing the face. Get out of my way. Get out of my face. Go get a job. And, isn't it? Sometimes when you really feel like I'm really Krishna conscious today, and it can be the most toughest day of your life. Huh? But what happened if you actually analyze it? What happened? But because you are Krishna conscious, even though it's difficult, you keep surrendering, you start praying, oh Krishna, please help me, oh Guru Maharaj, please help me. And you surrender more. And that's, ultimately that's what Krishna wants. For us to surrender more and more and more. Hmm? Krishna never put us in a position, a test, that will break our back. Hmm? Same thing with Guru, the spiritual master. He'll never give you an instruction that you cannot follow. Especially a spiritual master. He's very careful when dealing with a disciple. How much to push. Always finding ways how to make the disciple surrender more and become more Krishna conscious. But he's also very careful. I remember one time, there was this one devotee. He didn't follow the instruction of his spiritual master, and he opened a restaurant against his instruction, and then after a while he also faded away spiritual master. He's very careful when dealing with the disciple, how much to push, always finding ways how to make the disciple surrender more. I just say, now I'm trying to chant again, I'm trying to come back to Krishna consciousness, like that. So then the Guru, he replied, his initial response reply was that, I told you so and I was behaving. I told you not to do this, you know you do this, you're going to end up in this situation, and now you see yourself in a big mess and all that. Then he thought about it, now wrap it up, throw it in the basket. I cannot send this letter. Then he dictated another letter. Say, oh, it's very nice that you're coming back. It's very nice that you chant. Please go on chanting and more encouraging that. So like that. So Krishna is dealing with his devotees in that way, the spiritual master dealing in that way. And so actually this is also for us to learn. And this is also how we are supposed to deal with devotees. In a very encouraging way. Maybe it's not so much nowadays, but in the old days, sometimes we tend to be heavy. In the old days, our dealings tend to be a bit heavy. Surrender. It's either or. Surrender or get out. Shape up or ship out. No, there's no middle path. So, no, it's not always the best way. So in this, like that, the gopis, they were put in a very distressed condition. But their mood is like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu praising the Shishasaka. In the mood of the gopis, that I know no one but Krishna is my Lord. He can deal with me in any way he wants. He can treat me very nicely, or he can crush me, treat me, embrace me roughly. But he can do whatever he wants, because he's always my worshipful Lord, unconditionally. That's unconditional love. Actually, in Krishna consciousness, unconditional surrender is the much easier path than conditional surrender. Conditional surrender means, Devarita Maharaj called it the sunshine devotee. Yeah, you ever say that? Sunshine devotee. I wake up one morning, it's the sun shining, I'm ready to go, I'm so enthusiastic to do. We approach, go to the temple commander, temple president. Hey, Prabhu, just give me some service, any service, I'll do it. And then the next day, sun is not up, and we're in the moat, and someone trying to wake us. Bro, go away. I'm not in the mood today. Just get lost. Just let me sleep. Flip-flopping up, down. It's very painful. When you perform devotional service like that, it's very painful. One day up, one day down. Just our enthusiasm depending on the under influence of the most of material nature. No. Actually, we should surrender by our intelligence to understand that our life is meant for serving Krishna. Hmm. Whether good mood, not good. How do we get out of the most of nature anyway? If you are feeling down, if you're feeling influenced by the mood of ignorance, yeah, out of it. How do you get out? The only way to get out of that lower most of nature is to throw ourselves in the final devotional service. A very, very simple example is in Kirtan, for example. There are different kind of devotees in the Kirtan. Some devotees are blissful, their eyes are focused on the deities in the Kirtan, at the lotus feet of Radha Vallabha. Some devotees, their eyes are meditating on their own lotus feet, down, looking at their own feet. They won't move, they just stand there. And their lips hardly moving. Right? And so sometimes devotees try to pull them into a kirtan and get them to dance. They want to stay that way. But we all experience sometimes we come to a kirtan and we don't really feel like it. We're not really in the mood. But if we just throw ourselves into the kirtan and start dancing around with the other devotees, suddenly we just, our consciousness get lifted. And the most of nature just disappear and suddenly we feel blissful. Isn't it? We all have this experience. And that applies to throughout the day. It's not only in the kirtan. Throughout the day we can be in that consciousness. So this is the art of Krishna consciousness, how to always remain enthusiastic, to maintain our enthusiasm by always somehow linking up with Krishna consciousness through the nine processes of devotional service. Doesn't matter what the situation may be. Like the gopis, they were feeling distressed when Krishna left them. But they didn't sit in the corner and brood and getting moody, complaining. They're feeling the separation from Krishna, but they're saying they're remembering Krishna. And start enacting his pastimes. So when Krishna goes to the forest, tending the cows, the gopis, they were churning the milk, and they were all singing songs about Krishna. So in this way, we can always maintain our enthusiasm. We'll always be in the mood, blissful, happy mood. Like they say, in old days, the hippies, we are the happiest. The devotees are the happiest. We are happy because we are connected to Krishna, not anything else. Now, our happiness does not come from the external circumstances. Our happiness is felt with the joy of the soul being reconnected to Krishna. That's the joy we are feeling. So in this way, the devotee can, in any situation, he maintain his faith. Faith in Krishna. Like yesterday, when we were driving the crossway, Dr. Glenn was asking about this verse, Tatteno kampam susameshamano punjana evatma kritam vipakam vritvatvavavirvidadan namaste jivetayo muktipadesa daiva. That a sincere devotee, when he's faced with adverse condition, he's thinking, it's due to my past sinful activities, due to my past karma, I'm suffering this way. But he will not lose faith. He continued with enthusiasm to serve Krishna, worship Krishna. So such a devotee is a candidate for liberation. Becomes a candidate. You have a ticket back to the spiritual world. So it's not like a rocket science, Krishna consciousness. The philosophy can be very, very simple. We have very simple philosophy. You can also have very, very high, advanced, elevated philosophy. But the fundamentals of Krishna consciousness is very simple. Very, very. So if we get the basic right, the basics of Krishna consciousness right, it will see us through our devotional life without much difficulty. Doesn't matter what difficulty is there. In fact, some devotees, they pray for difficulties. Queen Kunti, when after the battle of Kurukshetra, Krishna was leaving Hastinapur, and Queen Kunti approached him and offered prayers, the prayers of Queen Kunti, and he said, "Let this calamity happen again and again, for then we will always have your association. You were there with us. But now all these problems so-called disappeared and you are leaving. So we would rather have all these problems." So sometimes it's good. This problem, it keep us, help us to remember Krishna. When we're in difficulty, "Oh Krishna, help me." Because sometimes when it's smooth, like on Sankirtan, for example, when we are doing well, then the tendency is to forget Krishna. You start thinking, "I'm so good." Right? "I'm so potent, I'm so empowered. I can just see how many poor folks are just flying out my window. Flying out of my hand." And Krishna is looking, "Oh yeah?" And he just withdraw his mercy and boom, suddenly it gets smashed. But it's good sometimes. I remember one time I was distributing a loan in Stockholm in the middle of winter. I used to travel by train and carry on these heavy bags of books. And the first half of the day was, the sky was gloomy, was dark, and the parking lot, and it was tough. People were just like, and out of desperation, I just cry out, "Krishna!" Right in the parking lot, "Krishna, help me!" And people were looking, "What is this guy gone crazy or something?" And then, somehow or other, I don't know how, the books are just flying out, and before the day was over, all the books is gone from the bag. Up to that time, I've never finished all the books. Somehow I just, and I didn't even know how it happened. So sometimes we think I'm the doer, but actually, Krishna. They are just instruments in the hands of Krishna. So like that. That's why it's so good and essential, regularly hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, reading Prabhupada's books, and keep reminding ourselves what Krishna consciousness is. Especially throughout the day, we meditate on the verse of the day. Some points we can take away, and that can carry us through the day. So, thank you very much for your attention. Are there any comments? Comments?
You were speaking about Krishna's mercy and saying how, depending on your consciousness, it might be that we have some impediment, and therefore we might think, "Oh well, Krishna doesn't want us to do this, therefore I'll do something else." How can we distinguish between Krishna wanting us to do something else and then just our mind thinking?
It's very easy. You ask the guru. You ask the authority. It's as simple as that. That's a nice thing in the association of devotees. We don't have to speculate. We're not sure, we ask, and they'll tell us. It's just like the simple question is, how we ask the Guru Maharaj, "How do you know if I'm pleasing you?" There are two ways you can find out. You're feeling happiness and satisfaction in the service, you know you're pleasing a spiritual master. Or you can ask him, he's a person, you know. You can ask, "Guru Maharaj, I'm doing service, am I doing the right thing, is it pleasing you?" I say, "Yes, keep on doing it and keep on increasing." And so Prabhupada, even though he was seeing so much obstacle and so much difficulty along the way, he knows, because he received the order directly from his spiritual master. So he knows, even though he was separated by so many years, he never forget. This is Shacha when being challenged. You have to take up the challenge.
Is that the reason why you
can do it? Yeah. And Shachas. And you this year, his Dharma personified. You know, he said he just accepted his faith.
If it's what's going to happen, it's what's going to happen.
That's the thing that confuses me a little bit. Is it fate because he chose continuously to go on and on and on again in his own life?
But it's also to give us example, why gambling is so bad. You know, you just lose it. Not just losing the money, but you just lose it up here. And you just get drawn deeper and deeper and deeper into it. I mean, there's stories abound how people that lose everything. My father had a friend. He was a compulsive gambler. And he has a very good business, you know, some bookstores. And one time his luck was going good and he was gambling and he was winning. And started buying houses and he was winning. Then he went to a bad street. He lost everything. He gambled everything away. His family hated him for that. Now he's in a very despondent position. Yes. Well, a different way. Sometimes we ask, he said, well, I don't feel the compassion, so how can I show compassion? Right? Sometimes we do not feel the compassion, we just don't relate. But we should understand that our spiritual master has compassion. And we are acting on his order. We may not feel the compassion, but the spiritual master has compassion for this limited. And on his order, we are trying to assist him. So by doing it over a period of time, we also feel compassion. As we advance in Krishna consciousness, our heart becomes soft. And we also feel, we also understand. Sometimes we see them and there may be some moments we say, oh, it seems to be enjoying. Right? Having a good time, walking down the street, boy and girl hand in hand, and the shopping, and the family. Right? But after a while, we realize it's a fool's paradise. There's really no happiness in the material world. Just different degrees of suffering. Yes, ma'am? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Can I ask something other than the topic, please?
Oh. You can try.
Will you explain on Chiranjeev?
You know. Why don't you tell?
The meaning and the...
Chiranjeev means long life, but it's also one of the branches of the Chaitanya tree. Chiranjeev. This is a blessing that the sadhu gave. There's only two persons before, not anymore, but before. When they see me, they always say, Rajputra Chiranjeev. And that's Devamrita Maharaj and Jayavita Maharaj. Each time they see me, they always say that. So it's a blessing. You know the blessings when it's passed by brahmachari, he asks for blessing. They say, die immediately.
I thought it means eternal life.
Long, eternal.
Not
Chiran. There's a verse also in the third canto of Bhagavatam, prayer, teaching of Lord Kapila, where the word Chiran is explained over a long time. So Chiran Jiva, long. Very long. Yeah. Like Jambavan is also known as Chiranjeev.
That's what it was. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
Okay, thank you, Maharaj. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.